We're beginning our final week of 2021 with a big spike in COVID-19 cases driven by the Omicron variant. The CDC reported on Friday that the seven-day national average of new cases was up 65% over the previous 2 weeks. And around the country, we're seeing governments introduce more mask mandates. Some gyms and restaurants are closing temporarily. Airlines are canceling hundreds of flights each day as their crews test positive. Chief White House Medical Advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci told NPR this morning that he's hopeful the current spike will come down soon, but he also urged people not to be complacent.
This is an extraordinarily efficient virus in spreading from person to person. It is just something like we've never seen before. The cases in any place you go, when the virus gets in there, it goes way up. So for those who have not had a severe impact yet, please continue to be prudent about wearing masks. And if you're not vaccinated, get vaccinated. And if you're vaccinated, please go get boosted.
We'll have the latest on the surge elsewhere in today's show. But first, let's focus on something else that millions of Americans are thinking about in the final days of this year, the state of their finances. The new year will usher in tax season, along with student loan repayments and tax complications for people whose lives have been in flux this year. Let's get some advice from Jill Schlesinger. She's a CBS News business analyst and host of Jill on Money. Jill, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. Happy New Year almost.
Happy New Year almost to you. And speaking of that, what is the number one thing that people need to know about getting their finances in shape as that year does come to a close?
You know, with just a few days, it's not like you're going to make a huge impact. But I will say that it's nice to know where you stand before the calendar turns over to the next year. And you always think about that when it comes to taxes, because taxes always kind of flummox people. You pay them in April, but it's for the year before, and there are things you can do before the end of the year, but maybe not so much at this point. What I really want to recommend that everybody does do is head over to the IRS website, which I'm sure you all have bookmarked. It's irs.gov, and they've got this nifty withholding estimator. And some of the things that the IRS does drives people crazy. This happens to be a very good one. It basically says how much money you've had set aside to pay your tax bill in April. Now, obviously, if you had done this in the middle of November, when your certified financial planner friends told you to do this, you'd have time to make a real difference. Now I'm asking you to do that just to know what you need to think about. Because if you've under-withheld, maybe if you have one last pay stub, you could potentially get a change. But what you really want to know is, if I owe taxes, I better know that going in, because I want to start saving up some money in advance of that to pay the bill come April.
And we'll link people to that website at hereandnow.org as well. So, Jill, also, let's just clarify this. There's no tax filing extension on the radar this year, is there?
I think the only extension that has actually been announced is for those tornado victims in, you know, places like Kentucky. But for the vast majority of Americans who have had these little extensions because of COVID, we're looking at April 15th for most people. And, you know, I think that that's fine. Remember, when we think about taxes, and I know we'll talk about this more next year, but, you know, most people are due refunds. A startling number of people get refunds when it comes to tax time. And, you know, I think it's always kind of a funny thing that people say, like, well, I'm waiting till April 15th to file. Well, if I'm due money from Uncle Sam, I want to file as soon as tax filing season opens, which is usually the end of January.
Yeah. There are a lot of us out there who are working remotely. And I know that last year I really dreaded doing my taxes because I moved out of state, but I kept working at the same job. So remind people what they might need to keep in mind if they're in that situation this year.
Yeah, this is such a tax headache. And you're right. So the first thing that you want to recognize is that when you live, you might live even in the same state, but county to county, municipality to municipality, it could be different in terms of taxes. So if you've stayed in the same place, great. If you're the kind of person who said, well, I went and camped out at my parents' house in another county or state, you start tallying up how much time you spent in each location. Now, I'm sure that many of you are going to sort of say, well, I can't do that, but you can kind of give a guesstimate. Don't go crazy. Mm-hmm. And then what you want to do is you want to check out what is the tax situation in each jurisdiction. And in some cases, you might be pleasantly surprised. Hey, I lived with my folks in a place where taxes were way lower. So it's worth doing this annoying task of counting days because you might have a lower tax bill.
A lot of people are still moving across the country, too, as a result of all the flux from the pandemic. And so I think that still applies to a bunch of people. Now, Jill, let's talk about contributions to retirement accounts. It's the end of the year. And for those who have them, what do you recommend? What should we think about?
First of all, you know, most of the workers out there have a workplace retirement plan. That can be a 401k, could be a 403b. Maybe you work for a municipality. It's a 457 plan. And if that's the case, and we are talking, it's, you know, again, days before the end of the year, if you have the chance to maybe bump up your contribution level for one last pay period and sock some money away, that's fantastic. For everyone else, usually if you're using an IRA or a Roth IRA, it's a great idea to think about funding that for the year, but you have until your tax filing deadline. One thing that is somewhat unique, people moved around, as you said, they were job hopping, and you've heard about the Great Resignation. Mm-hmm. For some people, this was a year where you earned less income, maybe you had a gap in your earning. For those kinds of folks, you may want to look at an existing traditional retirement account, a traditional IRA. You may want to convert that into a Roth IRA. And the beauty of that is you convert the amount of money that has been not taxed yet. You move it into a Roth IRA. And the one downside is you've got to pay the tax due. But if you're in the 12% tax bracket this year, but you know that next year you're going up to 22 or 24, you may want to pay the tax that's due when it's only 12%. So I think that's a really good idea if you have lower income this year than you think you'll have in the future.
Okay. Jill, on the issue of savings, it can be tough to do this time of year. Even for the people who got extra child tax credits or extra stimulus money this year, it's tough to save during the holidays especially. Give us some ideas that might motivate people to just like stash a few extra bucks away if they can spare it.
Well, I mean, one great incentive is that sometimes weird stuff happens. You can replace stuff with whatever word you want to replace it with. And I think we've just learned that lesson. I mean, the past 2 years is kind of the masterclass in holy smokes, weird things can happen. And having savings can be a real lifeboat when weird things happen. I don't know what's going to happen next, but I do think the people who had a little bit extra savings in their accounts amid COVID, as people were furloughed, as people were sent home, before stimulus checks were cut, they were really happy they had those. So I think you don't need a ton of motivation for that. I want to just be sure that everyone understands that while sure, we have pent-up demand. We have a lot of excitement about maybe spending on something for fun in the holidays and this, that, and the other thing. I think that we also learned that we know what's important. We had this this period of time of almost 2 years where you really understand what is an absolute need in your life. Mm. And sometimes the just sort of reminding yourself, I don't think you should go back into your fear-based, you know, cowering in the corner, I'm worried about disease. But what I do think is valuable is to say, hey, you know what? I did find out that I don't need as much stuff and I don't need to do as many things as I thought I did. That's how Americans saved more than $2.4 trillion amid COVID. We didn't have a lot to spend on. And I'm not sure that we really need to forget that period so quickly. I think having a little bit of that in our lives today makes us less consumptive and allows us to take a little bit more control of our own financial lives.
I hear that. I really do. Jill, it's the end of the year. We always have this conversation at the end of the year with you. Wouldn't it be better if we, I don't know, had it in January or started thinking about all this stuff before December 31st?
Well, I want you to know this. I have this conversation every single day because I have a podcast, and this is just what it is funny that my podcast is a daily podcast. You guys do a daily show, but many people are surprised. They say, well, how could you have a podcast 7 days a week? And I said, you would be surprised how many people have anxiety and questions about their own financial lives. And what I have found is that amid COVID, when people were home and they had this opportunity to really look within, this was one of the areas that they really wanted to tackle and really help themselves. And so I will tell you that every single day I have this conversation. So if anyone listening wants a little bit of love, come to JillOnMoney.com and ask me your question.
Yes, that's the podcast, and you're also a business analyst at CBS News, so you've got your hands full. We appreciate you taking the time to talk money with us. We really do. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, and thank you so much. You have a wonderful listening audience, and I'm very grateful to be on your airwaves every week.
We're grateful to have you, too. Thanks, Jill.